Good morning. I promise not to preach as long now as I did at 8 o'clock, those of you that are back. Four things today. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number two, all that people have, they will give to save their lives. Number three, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And number four, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the power of their salvation perfect through suffering. All that people have, they will give to save their lives. This is Satan's taunt to God. You'll notice in the first and second reading, two things are mentioned exclusively. Angels. Angels in the Old Testament are messengers. And in Hebrews, essentially what the author of Hebrews is doing is he's explaining the relationship of Jesus to the messengers and to God. In Hebrews, he's making it quite clear that God, that Jesus is an imprint, is the physical manifestation of God. The essence of our Trinitarian doctrine from the Bible comes straight out of this. The second point being made in Hebrews is that the angels are lesser than Jesus. Jesus is greater than them. It also makes it quite clear that though the angels have been given essentially as messengers of God control of the universe, that harkens back to why we have the reading of Job today as well. The reading of Job quite clearly says God gathered the hosts. And in addition to, who was one of Jesus' fallen angels? Ha-Shatan. So we get the word Satan from the Hebrew word here, Ha-Shatan, which means literally the deceiver, the liar. So we need to remember that when Ha-Shatan says, all that people have, they will give to save their lives, let's think about that in reflection on the gospel. When Satan is taunting God here saying this, he's essentially saying, people will do anything to save their skin. You give me Job, you take away all of the blessings that you've given him of wealth and of power and of a large family and of a happy life, you give me the power to take that away, and I'm telling you, Job will curse you. Now, Job is about 40 chapters long if you haven't read all of Job. And in biblical literature, it falls as the beginning of the wisdom literature section, but most classified as an epic. And in fact, when you study the book of Job in seminary anywhere, they will actually compare it to other epic literature of the ancient Near East at the time, because there are elements in there that are brought out. So essentially the book of Job is a reformulating of these stories about a faithful person and the relationship of people to deities, but put solely in the monotheistic conception of the Hebrew universe, of God the Almighty, Job his servant, and only one other person who can even rival God. In fact, he rivals God, but as we know, he's nothing. But he says, give me Job. And if you go on from Job, at least in this, even in this first chapter, Satan does strike Job with physical manifestations. And if you read in the next chapter, we read the first part of chapter 1, we skipped to chapter 2. We've already skipped over where the servants come, Job has already lost his family, he's already lost his money, he's lost all of his flock. Job's already been cast out. And the next 30 chapters are spent, Job's three friends come and they keep trying to help him figure out what he did to deserve this. But as you can see quite clearly, he deserved nothing. It was solely a bet, a wager between the devil and God. And God won. Job never cursed God. He doesn't curse him here, and through 30 chapters he gets there. Instead of cursing God, he gets to the point saying, I wish I'd never been born, because I'm stuck here between the feelings I have of God, which is, I want to curse God, but I can't, because I love God too, but I want to curse him for taking everything away from me. And I didn't deserve this. And so he says, I wish I'd never been born. I wish I was a grub in the earth. I mean, he goes poetically into long expositions of cursing his fate. All that people have, they will give to save their lives. Job doesn't give everything. He doesn't give everything. How does this point to truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child? A little child is born into the world that they have. If they're born into a bad family, they have a tough life. If they're born into a good family, they may have a great life. They're subject to the whims of their parents. They do what they're told. Now, we all know that children don't always do what they're told, but they're at the power, they're at the mercy of what their fate is that they're born into. And so, in a similar way as they are with Job, they're subject to the fate that is brought upon them. But they still, as a child, love God. They know God. They understand God in such an innocent way. I mean, even still my 5-year-old, who, believe me, I can feel be inspired by the devil occasionally, will still come to me and say these one-off phrases that show me that he sees God so clearly and so lovingly, and not with, oh my Lord, as I sometimes do, falling on my knees, Lord, why did this happen to me? It's not that way. Oh, God is there. I saw God the other day. I saw God in that picture over there. You know, he loves you, Daddy. So God, for a child, is straightforward. It's pure love and it's pure relationship. It was fitting that God, through whom all things exist, in longing, in bringing many children to glory, should make the power of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus died on the cross for us. We know this narrative. All of the entire book of Mark is pointing forward to that narrative. There are all these little hints that are put in there where Jesus tells his disciples he's going to die on the cross and pointing to it, and they're like, what? What are you talking about? In fact, earlier they were arguing about who was first, who was biggest, who was baddest, who was going to sit next to your left and right hand. After this reading, in 2 weeks from now, you'll see where James and John, the brothers asked Jesus, you know, Jesus, I know you love us best. Let me sit here, my brother sit here. And Jesus says, you guys still don't get it. He repeats the same phrase that he has said here on this Sunday. He said 2 weeks ago on that Sunday, and he'll say later, the last will be first, and the first will be last. So how do we sum all this up? The readings are really complex. Even the gospel in and of itself, why is it talking about divorce here, and then talking about children there? And I think it's in the hymn we're going to sing at communion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, it will make all clear for you the virtues and vices, what to do, what to avoid, and what to work hard and strive for. Those virtues are clearly spelled out by Jesus. He wants us to care for the poor, the sick, the infirm, those who are lesser than us. He wants us to not care about our place in the world. He wants us to not worry about the security of our lives. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to understand that when we are befallen with sickness and when we are ill, that we can turn to him and he will reply to us. It may not be as we expect. My brother-in-law passed away this year. He was sick for a while. We prayed hard. We wanted him to survive, and he didn't. We prayed to God. Things happen. It's real. But God didn't abandon us in our prayers. He showed us his love. He held us in his hand through the pain. Every time we turned, it's not like there was silver lining in the passing, but we learned that God loved us no matter what. God answers our prayers, and it seems we don't always understand how they're being answered. So when I say seek ye first the kingdom of God, what I'm saying is reorient your compass in the right direction. And whether you're being afflicted with sores or whether you're trying to understand what it means to be a child in such a complex world where we do vote elections, where we do have moral crises, where we do have the reality of pain and divorce and death, if we seek first the kingdom of God, we will be able to stay on task, we'll be able to stay close to God, and God will handle us in the end. And if you think about it this way, all that people have, they will give to save their lives. Satan was saying they'll do anything to save their material world. But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and give all that you will for that life, that eternal life, you will give everything to save your life. And you will have the power and strength to know and love God. And He will carry you through. Amen.